by the MVM Radio Network. Man, I tell you, it's been one heck of a day, and as always, it's just going to be even longer. Welcome to the show. We've got a lot to go over, and as usual on Wednesday night, we start with Mr. Dale the Truth Gillespie. How are you, sir?
Greetings, my friend. I am watching what is the best news story of the day, and this is the now eight-hour-long filibuster by my Senator Rand Paul.
I love it. Yeah, the filibuster started at 11:47 this morning, and you know, I got to be honest with you. I'm flat out loving every bit of that. You know, it's very interesting to me that you know, it has to get to this point. But what's really pathetic though about all of this is nobody wants to stand with him.
Well, a few people are coming around, but I think what's more disappointing is I had someone tell me on the social networks a few minutes ago that none of the mainstream media was even covering this. I think Judge Andrew Napolitano was the one that busted the mainstream media's chops. He said, let me find it here. He said 12 minutes into the national newscast on NBC, CBS, and ABC, and not one word about the filibuster. And I personally think, I agree with Judge Napolitano, that this is the biggest story that there is today in the news, period.
Well, you know, Judge Napolitano was probably the only one who was saying anything that was that could be remotely considered true when he was on the air, and they took him off the air.
Yep.
You know, they didn't like the fact that he was telling the world what was really going on, so they just eliminated him.
Yep.
You know, and I agree with you. And I tell you, what people really aren't even paying attention to here, what mainstream America probably doesn't know, is that this filibuster isn't to prove some kind of a point to set himself up for this so-called 2016 presidential election. What created this filibuster was Obama himself. Yesterday, the Obama administration said, Eric Holder said, that it has the right to assassinate citizens by using drones in the U.S.
Yep.
On U.S. soil.
Yep.
And here they're wanting to go ahead and appoint this new CIA director who has made it very clear he loves the drone strikes. I don't see this as a bad thing. I see this as a very necessary thing to protect freedom in America, and nobody wants to touch it.
Well, it can be broken down pretty easily, and we are in this age with Twitter and Facebook and everything where people want everything in little short sound bites. Here's the bottom line. I know we get a lot of people listening, hundreds of thousands of people that we have listening here weekly. And mm-hmm. on a daily basis, you have a U.S. senator, proud to say my U.S. senator, who I knew way before he was a senator, has now been speaking on the floor for going on 8 hours, speaking against the U.S. government killing our own people at home. I mean, what else is there to say? I wish everybody would tell their senators to follow his lead. What does it tell you when a U.S. senator has to go to the floor of the Senate and speak for several hours? Get some feedback there. I don't know if that's you or me. Probably the New World Order listening in again, but the drone attacks on our own people. We lose you, Ed? I cannot hear anything you're saying, Ed. I guess they don't like what we're talking about again. Ed, can you hear me? I can hear you way out there. There's a lot of static, and I said I guess that they don't like what we're talking about right now.
Well, there we go. That's
give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
The government
can.
The government.
Apologize, folks, for the real quick commercial. I truly have no idea what's going on anymore. I really don't know, Ed.
I don't know at what point the audience can hear you or me or vice versa, but I was just talking about how we got a U.S. senator standing up against our government, killing our own people, and all of a sudden the show's airwaves were jammed.
Well, and what really makes this interesting, too, is we've already proven that drones have killed American citizens on foreign soil. But in this particular case, Eric Holder says that President Barack Obama has the legal authority to use drone strikes against Americans on U.S. soil without any trial or any you know, just cause. So we got to look at this. Now, of course, he goes on to say, but, you know, he's not planning on doing it. You know, there's a lot of things that Barack Obama says he's not planning on that have come true. So I don't buy any of this. Here, nope. Senator Paul is standing up for our constitutional rights and protection from this, and it's being ignored by mainstream.
Oh, yeah. I don't watch mainstream, but I know you probably have watched mainstream all the time, and I just can't stomach it, but everybody's telling me that they're not covering this at all mainstream, so it's not a surprise, but I truly believe that this filibuster is the biggest story of the day. Of all news that has broken today, it is the biggest story that has broken today. Now, you can talk about all the wars we got going on around the world and everybody getting killed and these accidents here and there, but it's the biggest story that started today, and they won't cover it.
Well, and it's fascinating, too, because when you look at this story, Dale, I mean, when we look at this story, I mean, Eric Holder says, you know, that the government doesn't carry out drone strikes in the United States and has no intention of doing so. We know that they're patrolling the United States illegally, mind you. He also said that they reject the use of military force where well-established law enforcement authorities in this country provide the best means for incapacitating a terrorist threat. Well, the problem is, didn't they just also release a bunch of criminals from jail that were illegal immigrants? So, you know, here's a potential threat right there. They released criminals who just happen to be illegal immigrants, and they released them from jail to save money.
Yeah,
so I don't buy that either.
The sequestering, and that was strictly BS. They did not have to restrict them. I mean, you should, if you're going to cut government, you're going to scare people. But that's the thing. If you scare people about stuff that they didn't think was valuable, they wouldn't be worrying about the sequestering. And that's why I keep telling, every time I hear somebody who's non-informed, or as the big radio show host likes to say, the low information voters, anytime I talk to these people, they just think, oh, it's horrible, we're going to have to go through this sequestering and these cuts. And I keep telling them, no, it's no big deal at all. It's a good thing.
Well, and that's what makes it so amazing. This is nothing more than another plan to take over America. You know, for the last couple of days, I don't know if you've been able to hear the show this week or not.
I haven't got to listen to too much of it, no.
But for the last couple of days, I've been talking on a show about the attempted takeover by the U.S. government of the American citizens. I mean, that's all I can come up with.
Yep.
When you look at the reality, the Second Amendment was put in place to protect us from a tyrannical government. We now have drones openly patrolling U.S. airspace. That's a given. We have a situation where the Department of Homeland Security and the Obama administration has bought up all the ammunition, the 40 cal ammunition and the 9mm ammunition, which is the most prominent ammunition for handguns in America. That represents the majority of handgun ammo. We see an attempt to make everybody register the weapons so they can come through later and take them like Hitler did in Austria.
Yep.
You know, now we're seeing another situation here where, you know, it's okay to go after Americans on American soil without due process. I don't know how we can come to the conclusion, any other conclusion, I should say, there would be other than an attempted takeover from the Supreme Allah Commander. I mean, that's all I can come up with. I mean, here's another.
Just to tell you how out of touch people are, and again, you don't know that it's a chicken or egg thing. Are the people so out of touch, so therefore they believe the media, or the media so control the people that the people believe what they tell them? Even the poll over at our Dead Tree Media, the Courier Journal, they got a stupid poll up here about should. I mean, I'm just glad that we're getting this issue out in public, because like Rand Paul was saying, maybe back in hour three or four today, is this is an issue they didn't even talk about publicly. Nobody wanted to mention it. If you talked about it, oh, you were a conspiracy theorist. This wasn't really happening. And the poll over at the Courier Journal today actually asked people, should the Obama administration rule out attacking Americans in the U.S.? And there was actually 31% as of the time we went to the airwaves, 31% of the people who took the poll on the Courier Journal's homepage said, no, we can see where there could be circumstances where the president would need to use force against Americans on our soil.
Which is exactly the stage that Eric Holder set yesterday. Eric Holder said that hypothetically there could be a potential situation, for example, if we needed to protect the homeland from catastrophic attack like the ones on December 7, 1941, which, of course, is Pearl Harbor, and September 11, 2001. If we had to protect the United States from a catastrophic attack like those two things.
Well, it's the perfect storm for them right now, Ed, because you have the combination of the left-wingers who hated war and thought war was terrible, but now dear leader Obama's in charge, so they trust him. And then you have a lot of neocons who always think war is good, and they think that that boogeyman, that Muslim in the cave halfway around the world, is going to show up in your bedroom. So between those two together, I guess is where you get these idiots. I'm sorry, 31% of people in a Louisville Courier Journal poll saying that, no, we can see where there are circumstances that the president may have to kill us on our own soil. That's just ludicrous.
It is very ludicrous, and I think ultimately they're setting the stage. And I tell you another story you may not have heard yet, or you may have, I don't know. This story came out on Sunday, actually. But the Obama administration, Department of Homeland Security, has purchased 2,700 light armored tanks to be put on American streets.
I was going to mention that. I'm sure that's just to do cleanup and keep the streets clean, I'm sure, Ed. I just want clean roads.
Yeah, I know. Mine-resistant protective vehicles are going to be put on the streets of the United States. You know, and we have to ask ourselves, why is this happening? Well, I pointed out last night that if we really want to know why this is happening, let's look at the big picture here, okay? We already had a situation where the government has already been asked, and I'm going to point out a website. I did last night. I don't normally do this, but I want people to go to this website and start reading some of this. It's called shtfplan.com. That's the website. Shithitthefanplan.com is what I remember it by. Yep. It's shtfplan.com. And what's really interesting here is they have an article there where they're talking about people are having to police their own neighborhoods because there's not enough money for police officers and stuff. And then as part of some of the articles and some of the research I did yesterday, we find out that we have already had military taken to the streets. In 2010, in Illinois, state reps and Chicago Democrats, John Fritchie and LaShawn Ford, were asking Governor Daley at that time and Superintendent Jody Weiss to use the National Guard, put the National Guard on the streets to combat crime in the city. They wanted the National Guard to do the job of their police officers, and they were begging the governor to do that. Now, in Chicago, it's illegal to own a handgun. Handguns have been banned in Chicago since 1982. The murder rate immediately soared after they took the guns, and it showed no signs of slowing down since.
Nope.
There's over 40 murders a weekend on a typical weekend in Chicago. Okay? So it's gotten so bad that the Democrat leaders are now saying that they have to have military troops patrol their streets. So what you're going to get into here is you have no more freedom. You're going to have curfews and everything else enforced. This is just one example. There's another example of Detroit asking for the same thing just last year. In Detroit, they did the same thing last year in May of 2012. And nobody is really addressing the problem here. They're saying we don't have enough police officers. Well, unfortunately, most of the police officers we have today appear to want to be the aggressive criminals that they're supposed to be pursuing. They want to treat us like the criminals in all cases instead of doing their job correctly. If they were doing their job correctly, we wouldn't have to have a National Guard. If these Democratic leaders in Chicago were doing their job correctly and quit being the ultra-left-leaning liberals that they are and breaking the bank to fund the unions, they would have the money for police officers.
Yes.
Okay? So, I mean, this is a big thing to me. So we've got the government buying up billions of rounds of ammunition. We've got the government putting these mini tanks in civilian neighborhoods on civilian streets on U.S. soil. And everybody thinks that I'm a nut job, a conspiracy theorist, because I'm pointing it out.
Well, yeah, like I said, it didn't take too long when people hear the kind of thing that I said on the airwaves. I don't know, when I started doing this show beginning of calendar year 2012, and then I did another version of the show over another Blog Talk Network in 2011, and they thought that the stuff I was saying was something out of Star Trek. It could never happen here. It could never happen here. And what are they going to say now? The ammunition is being purchased. The armored vehicles with little gun holes in them are being purchased, like you just mentioned, across the country by Homeland Security. They can't deny mm-hmm. that the drones are out there now. So my big question for you, Ed, are people going to finally stop thinking it's conspiracy theory and seeing it's conspiracy fact?
No.
Wow.
No, they're not. And I tell you, the 31% that you just talked about at the CJ rag is a good example of that. You know, it's fascinating to me. I sat today, I mean, for people who don't know.
But those people accept it's happening, Ed. They don't, that poll wasn't asking. See, that's why I said I'm kind of glad that poll was there, because at least people know it is happening. So it is a little mind-numbing, and it makes you feel a little numb that they would say this. But they're admitting it's happening, and they're going even further and saying it's okay to do it.
Well, it's really interesting, because that's exactly it. Because what you do is you play on people's fears.
Yep.
It's what we've done after 9/11. It's what we've done throughout history.
Yep.
We scare the people so much that they have to think that the military and the government is going to protect them and save them. And it's really interesting, because I tell you, for our audience who don't know, I'm a member of the Wave 3 News editorial board here in Louisville. And we get together and we go over editorial ideas and we talk about events and things like that, what problems are, and you know, and we start doing calls to action and things like that. And it's really interesting, because everybody wants to dance around. Even when you go to these things, everybody wants to dance around the real problems in America right now. You know, for example, it's not that we don't take in enough money, it's just that we spend too much.
Yep.
You know, when you look at a place like Kentucky, you know, we've got a governor and a House of Representatives, Speaker Stumbo, trying to stop industrial hemp in Kentucky. They're trying to hide behind marijuana. That's so that they don't have to deal with the reality that these pill mill bills that they keep passing aren't getting the pills off the street. That we know of doctors in Louisville who are prescribing Suboxone, for example, for cash to people that they won't investigate. We know that heroin is the biggest rising drug on the Louisville streets and in Kentucky overall. But these guys are so scared to bring industrial hemp in here because they're scared if they do, they might lose federal money. And that's really what it all boils down to. You take a state like Kentucky.
Yeah, it's all about federal money, Ed. And the thing is, I'm very small L libertarian about this. I don't even believe in giving big prison sentences for heroin. Now, I realize this is what they did back when Dr. Ron Paul was running for president. They lied and cheated and stole, the Republican Party did. And they tried to tell the old ladies in the Republican Party, Ron Paul wants to legalize heroin. I actually went to an event, Ed. I went to an event over here. It was a bunch of neocon ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when myself and we lost a lot of patriots. This was we lost a lot of patriots in the last year or so. And this is one of our good dear departed patriots and I were at this event over here in the east end of Louisville. And I literally heard, this is during the presidential primaries of last year, I literally heard little old ladies telling each other, you can't vote for Dr. Ron Paul. He wants to give everybody heroin. This is what they had to go on. They had no issues of their own. It's like the McConnell machine. You don't have anything positive to say about yourself, so you better come up with a lot of bad stuff about the opponent.
Well, and that's exactly it. And I think, you know, even the sequester right now is a good example of that. For one thing, there's not a money problem in America. Asking the government to do without 2.5% more money is ludicrous to say that that's a problem. When you're talking about a $3.8 trillion budget debt, you know, that you're, a budget spending that you've got, and you're asking them to do without $85 billion. Hell, the American people, since January the 1st, each and every one of us citizens who are out there working, are losing 5 to 7% of our earnings every month right now. And that's before Obamacare takes effect and before a lot of these employers start cutting back their employees to 29 hours so they can avoid the full-time wages. You know, so, I mean, there's a lot there. But the thing, the reality is that Kentucky depends on this federal drug money. As one example, for every dollar that we send the feds, we get $1.50 back. We're considered a poor state, so we get 1.5 times what we send back. And that's what these guys are worried about. It's not marijuana. It's not industrial hemp that's the problem. But they don't have a clue, and they don't want to mess with anybody that's dealing with the pill mill for some reason, my bet is money. You can take that to the bank. My opinion,
yep.
There you go. We've got to use that terminology now, right? My opinion is that somebody's getting paid off to ignore this. We see that constantly around the country. My opinion is that somebody's getting paid off to ignore the heroin problem. And what's so alarming here is that we have become so addicted to this opium, other people's money, that we refuse to do our job. It's the same way all across the country. If you look at what's really going on here, I mean, here's a good example. There are approximately 1.4 million gang members living in America today. That's according to the FBI. Okay, that's not anything I'm making up. The FBI says there's approximately 1.4 million gang members living in America today. That is up about 40% in just 3 years, folks. Since the end of 2009, that number has jumped up 40%. All right? They're not even counting the millions of young guys who have come into this country illegally that are out there doing crime and everything else to support themselves once they get here in our cities. They're not even showing all of them.
Are they counting the politicians?
Well, you know, those are the biggest criminals we got.
The biggest gangsters
and,
going.
Oh, yeah. And if you want to look at the province of Chicago, look how many of them are in jail right now. Right, Blago? So, you know, we look at this, okay? If you want to use some of these cities as an example, in Chicago is considered to be the deadliest global city. Not the deadliest city in the United States. The deadliest global city. And it's all because of the gang violence. 80% of all murders and shootings in Chicago are gang-related. Okay? So here's the thing. 83% of those killers had criminal records. In Philly, 75% of their killers had criminal records. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Who would think you had a murder problem in Milwaukee, Wisconsin? 77% of their murders are because of killers, criminals. Okay? So we've got all of this stuff. We know all of these things. All right? But because we don't want to let our police do their job, or our police don't want to do their job, I should say, because that seems to be the way it is today. I feel sorry for the cops of old who actually did their job and put it on the line every day to have to even say that they're a retired cop compared to some of these young guys today. But in Detroit, for example, things have gotten so bad that the Detroit police tell everybody to enter Detroit at your own risk. But they can't do anything about it. So here's the deal. We've got these gang problems. We've got all these other problems. So instead of going to the street and taking care of the problem, the administration says, you know what? We've got over 300 million Americans. All of them are guilty. We're going to go ahead and put drones in the air. We're going to take all the ammunition so the only people who have guns and ammunition are the criminals and let them kill at will. We're going to downsize America by letting violence take over. I can't think of any other way to explain it. How about you?
I think it's exactly as you describe it, Ed, because it's I can't excuse it. There are some people out there who will still try to excuse it and say, oh, well, they mean well. No, they don't mean well at all. It's by design. We can go back 20 years ago, see what the Ted Turners and the Bill Gates and the Warren Buffetts and the Rockefellers all said about they want less people on this planet. So I think that they're making it very clear that the globalists, by going down the chain of command, are getting less people on this planet. You mentioned Chicago. And my question, if we could get away from those neocons that think guns are bad and drugs are bad, what do you think, and this is rhetorical, but feel free to answer, what do you think or what does the audience think would be the change in crime and the change in murder rates in Chicago if we would just give them the same gun rights that we have in, say, Kentucky?
Oh, they would drastically go down. I don't think there's any doubt about that. If you let people arm themselves, I mean, you already got good examples of that. Arcadia Park is a good example of that. Arcadia Park, you know, East Oakland's Arcadia Park, they don't have any police that can patrol. So, you know, they've got an Arcadia Park board of directors, and they literally have 20 and 30 people patrol together the streets themselves that are armed just so that they can keep the crime down in their neighborhood because they were going through so much criminal stuff that the police just couldn't respond. So they started taking back their streets, you know, and basically, I mean, according to Alaska Tarvins, he's on the Arcadia Park Board of Directors, you know, he says you've got to walk around in your house with a gun to feel safe here. So they do. Just as an example of these so-called money-saving efforts, let's go back to Chicago. Chicago, in order to save money, you know, because they don't have enough officers to do everything, they stopped taking 911 calls for crime reports and armed robberies, thefts, and burglaries. You know, that's typically violent crime, and they just ignore the reports of it. So, yeah, we've got all of these things going on. But what's really fascinating here, we've already talked about the gang problem, okay? We have this problem here. But let's talk about, you know, the focus behind these gangs, because a lot of this has to do with the drug money.
Yep.
All right? The drug money. So in 2006, the Justice Department's own report from the National Drug Intelligence Center reported that Mexican drug cartels were actively operating in 50 different U.S. cities. That was 2006, 50 different U.S. cities. Okay? By 2010, 4 years later, the number of Mexican drug cartels, these are just Mexican drug cartels, folks. This is their report, not mine. Mexican drug cartels jumped from 50 to 1,286 U.S. cities in 4 years. No telling where they are today, just 2 years after that. So when we look at this, we look at the situation in Arizona, for example. In Arizona, they've got stretches of their highway where they tell you not to drive here because you're going to get killed. The Mexican drug cartels have taken over the mountains in Arizona. And we know this. Our administration even admits that. Governor Jan Brewer in Arizona admits that. Okay? But they're not going to take 2,700 of these daggone mini tanks. They're not going to take drones. They're not going to take all this ammunition and give it to our military to go into Arizona mountains and take our daggone sovereign land back. They're going to put it on American streets like my street because some old guy might be toking on a joint.
Well,
how pathetic
again,
is that?
No, it's very pathetic. And again, if you look at what they're doing, when you sit here and say, and I'm not going to make immigration the point of this at this point, but if you sit here and say that we're going to let all the illegal aliens, undocumented workers, whatever you want to call them, Pablo and Paco running across the border, if you sit there and say, we're not going to enforce that, but we're going to have a war on drugs. They gave up the fight on immigration. They gave up the war on immigration a long time ago. They waved the white flag on that, but they say they're going to have a war on drugs. So you're saying let everybody comes in from these countries that are all about drug wars, but yet we're going to say they can't bring the drugs. Who really thinks they're going to come over here and not bring the drugs with them?
Well, let them explain all the daggone hidden tunnels that they use right now that have millions and millions of daggone dollars worth of illegal drugs that they just shuffle back and forth across the border. We haven't even touched on any of that.
Simple logic. People are so brainwashed by what the mainstream press and the two major political parties tell them. If I was just doing a simple, just straightforward questioning here, Ed, if I asked you what the gangs are fighting over in Chicago, what would you tell me?
They're fighting over drugs and turf.
So if they're fighting over drugs, that, you know, you're talking about, like, you know, Aleve and Advil and aspirin.
Come on, Dale.
Well, my point is this. If they're fighting over drugs, they're fighting over only drugs that are illegal, right?
Right.
So what if those drugs were made legalized? Let's think outside the box. What if those drugs were made legal? Not just marijuana, but even the heavy stuff. If they're fighting all over illegal drugs because they control the market, because they have this self-inflated, self-hyped value of the drugs because the market here says you can't even have it. So what happens if we just kill their market and say everybody can have it?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm still in denial and disagreement on that. I don't think that you should legalize everything like that.
No, but my point is, what if you did, what would they fight over?
Well, you're right. They wouldn't have anything to fight over.
That's right.
Well, they wouldn't have that to fight over. But typically, people of that mindset are going to find something to fight over. If you legalize OxyContin, where you can walk in any Circle K and buy it, or Suboxone, walk in any Circle K and buy it. If you legalize it, then you just took the criminal element out. And the reality is a criminal for a reason.
Yep.
In most cases, it's not because, you know, it's their only option, but there's all kinds of options to avoid criminal behavior. So if you're not fighting over the pills, then you're going to be fighting over the heroin. If you're not fighting over the pills, the heroin, or the marijuana, you're going to find something else to fight over. So, I mean, the point is we're always going to continue to have animosity and strife. Somebody wants to have something that they don't have, and we're going to find a way to fight over it. So
well,
I'm not all in favor of the whole legalization process.
I understand. I just try to get people to think outside the box, because look at what's going on in Eastern Kentucky, Ed. The stuff that they're doing out there, whether it be the meth labs,
mm-hmm.
or whether it be the over-the-counter prescription drugs,
mm-hmm.
that's stuff that they can all get legally. And we saw where our state legislature tried to put in the snot tax and all these things where they tried
yeah.
to take away legal stuff. So if you do it in reverse, I mean, you kind of agree with me. I know it's a far-fetched for people to think, oh, let's legalize all drugs. It still scares people because they still got reefer madness in their head and they're thinking that all drugs are horrible. But drugs are legal. All kinds of drugs are legal. So my point is, in Eastern Kentucky, everybody's killing themselves and killing each other over drugs that are already legal. So do we think if we make all those illegal, they'll stop killing each other?
No, they won't. And, right. But that's the thing. And, for me, realistically, I don't want a bunch of pill heads out there operating vehicles I'm driving on a road on. When you legalize everything, I think that you open up a Pandora's box that we simply can't go down. So I'm not saying that the drug war is successful, because it clearly is not. The biggest problem with the drug war is we're focusing too much on stuff that really is insignificant, like marijuana, and we're not focusing enough on heroin, the pill mills, and all the other stuff. That's the deal. But they don't want to focus on that, because that's where the money's at, and that's where a lot of these, that's where a lot of this old money that you hear so much about comes from. These are networks that were set up a long time ago that are finally coming to fruition. I really believe that.
We're talking about two different types of criminals, too, Ed. We're talking about the kind of criminals that they call drug addicts and the kind of criminals they call drug dealers. And I think you would agree with me that drug addicts who simply have an addiction that they have to meet, they shouldn't be serving hard time because they have an addiction.
No, what you're talking about is not necessarily stopping something from being illegal.
Right.
If you're talking about decriminalizing.
Right.
I'll go with that all day long.
Well, I've always thought decriminalization is better than legalization, because, like I said, if they're doing these drugs, whether legally or illegally, if somebody has an addiction, does their addiction ever change just because the law changes? No.
Well, no. I totally agree with you.
So
no,
they
actually
should
have to
give them through hard sentences. That's my point. They can take the tax dollars. I mean, you and I can argue later about what they're going to do with the tax dollars later. I say, if you look at countries in Europe that don't have hardly any of the draconian drug laws, they have far less crime, and I think they make my point over there for me. But, like I said, we can argue later about what you're going to do with the tax dollars, but stop taking the tax dollars that we're taking now from the people to put Joe and Mary in prison because they have an addiction.
I agree with that. No, I totally agree with that. It's very interesting because, we've got so many people that are in prison for nothing, really. I mean, for nothing. I mean, let's look at this realistically. We've also got a situation here out of the Washington Times today. Senator Leahy, he was talking about the sequester, and the only reason I bring up sequester again is because it actually does get into this. Senator Leahy says the sequester should halt federal marijuana rates. Senator Patrick Leahy went on record. He's the Judiciary Committee chairman, and he told Eric Holder, the Attorney General, hey, look, I would suggest there's more serious things than minor possession of marijuana, because Eric Holder is intent on going after Colorado and Washington State for legalizing marijuana possession. And, here we're talking about a sequester and wasting money, and Leahy called him out on it. There's more serious things than minor possession of marijuana. So we've got so many people that are deemed as criminal that are in jail for minor offenses, getting caught smoking a joint. Come on.
Yep.
That's prohibition from the old days. So when we look at this, because Eric Holder wants to go out there and act like these budget sequesters are going to cost his department all this money and hurt national security. I don't think that marijuana is a national security risk. Marijuana has never been a national security risk.
Nope.
How they even make that leap is beyond me. But that's Eric Holder. This is the same guy who says it's legal to use drones on American soil. So we've got to look at a lot of this, but you're right about decriminalizing. I think that there are a lot of things that you can decriminalize. The biggest thing for me is an addict needs help. And I'll be honest with you, everybody's got their addictions. Some people are addicted to prescription pills. Some people are addicted to heroin. Some people are addicted to alcohol. I'm addicted to cigarettes. I admit it freely. I smoke Marlboros every day. Have for many years. Probably will till I die. Now, does that mean I can't quit? Sure, I can quit. But it's an addiction. You know what I mean? So there's all kinds of things.
There's too many people that think that there is some kind of correlation between legalization and dangerous behavior. And there's these people, and I don't know what else to call them but neocons, because if you're a liberal, you hear liberals are socially liberal, then they're kind of like these laid-back, free love hippie kind of people. So you got that thing going. But if people think that drug wars work, look what's going on in Mexico, where it's just one drug war after another. And that's my whole point. If someone's taking a pill, or like you just said, smoking a cigarette, there's too many people out there, and I see them on the social networks. They think because the government says something is illegal, well, it's got to be bad for you. Well, you know what? Sometimes just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. And you look at cigarettes, you look at tobacco, you look at alcohol, you look at caffeine, you can find government studies that say all three of those are far more dangerous than marijuana.
Oh, sure. There's no doubt. Let's go
but
to the phone.
All legal.
I agree with you. I think that this is our good friend Paul Holliger. We're stopping him, all right?
U-M.
Awesome. How are you, sir?
Bad English. I understand that. Hey, listen, Ed, I want you to quit picking on Eric Holder. Okay? I want you to quit picking on him.
But he makes
Eric
it so
Holder,
easy.
Well, it may be the case, but Eric Holder is no different in most respects than every one of the AGs before him. I'm telling you, it's the ruling elite's choices that are doing all these things. You want to single out Holder because he happens to be a convenient target today? That's fine. When Obama's out, you know, the next AG is going to be yet another political appointee. But the ruling elite will continue to run things, okay? So I do like, Ed, your angle that focuses on essentially follow the money. This is all about who's getting the money.
Yep.
That's all it is. And Dale's talking about all the criminalization versus the incarceration thing. Again, all about money.
Yeah, it's all about money. I mean, people look at the jobs that we're losing, Paul and Ed, and I don't care if we're losing government jobs. I'm worried about the private jobs we're losing. And when you have a president, whether it's this president or the last one or the next one, who builds up jobs by putting more people in the IRS so they can audit us little people, or builds up jobs so they can put more people in this prison planet to guard the gulags that are coming soon. Yeah, I said it. I'm not afraid to say that the FEMA camps are coming. And those are the jobs that I want to cut. I don't want those jobs. I want the private jobs back.
But Dale, let me address one thing that you also kind of alluded to, and that is, without saying it, you're making some excellent points on all of this stuff, but your excellent points are being lost on the majority of people.
Yeah.
Those of us who understand where you're coming from and understand your points and agree with your points, you don't have to convince us.
I know.
But the vast majority of people out there are what you are describing, and no matter how valid they are, that scares them to death.
Right. They'd rather keep the cover over their eyes instead of open their eyes and look
right.
at it.
It's a comfort. It's a comfort zone. They feel comfortable. They are quite willing to be subservient. And see, there's a whole bunch of us out here that are just not into that subservient role very readily or very often.
Well, unfortunately, there's not as many of us as there needs to be. You know, but the real question, really, truly, though, we know that they're subservient. We know that we are just pawns in this game of chess that they play with each other. The powers do. We know that we're not getting ahead. We're losing even more and more each and every day. I pick on Eric Holder because he just happens to be the incumbent. I also picked on Janet Reno under Bill Clinton, and I picked on everybody since. So, this isn't a situation where it's a personal thing with Holder, because every attorney general has had the same problem. I totally agree. But Eric Holder is the latest example. Eric Holder is the most outspoken right now, and Eric Holder needs to be held accountable to what he's saying, even if he is carrying Obama and the powers of deep water. With that being said, you know, how do we get this accountability? If we have all of these people that are so frustrated, when you've got Rand Paul, arguably with the biggest story of the day out there, with what he's doing up on the Hill right now, with the filibuster, being ignored by mainstream media, which reaches millions, you know, how do you really get to the point where we can get people more involved and get the truth to them? We're doing our job, don't get me wrong. We're growing in excess of 20% each and every month. On this show, we've got thousands of people who listen to this show, who pay attention to LouisvillePolitics.com and everything else, and it grows. But it's still time consuming. What do we lose in the meantime?
Ed, you still sound like you really want to whip people up into a frenzy and have a mass demonstration.
I think we
and
need
I'm
it.
Not sure. Well, whether we need it or not, the question is it going to happen? And I don't see that kind of stuff happening at the moment. Mm-hmm. I think what you're doing. If you're making people seething mad, I like that angle because that's probably the best we can hope for right now. Just get them to continue to seethe and be angry at being oppressed and being stepped on and ignored by the very people that they thought were supposed to be looking out for all of us in some form or fashion.
Well,
so,
I'll give you a good example.
But at some point, Ed, here's the good news. At some point, you will get your wish. You'll get your wish. there will be enough people at some point that will say, you know, it's over. I've reached my limit. Time for action.
And don't accuse me. Please don't accuse me of being Barack Obama, because he wished for a sequester back in 2011, had Congress go for it, and now he's blaming the Republicans. So, you know, let's not put me in that category. You know, but seriously, though, I mean, when we look at all the things that are going on, it's interesting you talk about that. Because one of the things I mentioned earlier is I'm part of the Wave 3 News editorial board. And one of the challenges that we face, that we talked about today in our latest board meeting, one of the challenges that we face is, one, what is the purpose of an editorial? And two, you know, what are we really trying to accomplish? So we're going through all this give and take question and answer stuff, and really truly, an editorial should be something that calls that has a call to action, if you will, that makes people talk, makes people think, makes people get involved. So if I've got to work people up into a frenzy, because most people get involved when they're angry. Some of the quietest people in the world I've ever met in my life will sit in an editorial board meeting, and I say one thing the whole time because they're just quiet, they're not wanting confrontation. But as soon as you say one thing about something that may concern them, they become the most vocal, most involved people you've ever seen in your life, because you whip them up into a frenzy. And that's what I pointed out today at this editorial meeting. It's simple to say, well, we think this is bad. What do you think? But it's a lot better when you go out and say, we think this is bad, and this is what we need to do about it to correct it. Get off your butt and get involved. I don't mind working people into a frenzy. It's what I do. The problem is we don't have enough people out there willing to do that. Why is that?
Well, they're too distracted, and I've heard Paul use the example before. He would cite the situation they have in Tennessee when they threatened them with a state income tax, and I believe, Paul, as you described it to our audiences before, they basically surrounded the chambers, and they scared the hell out of the politicians who were inside the building.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, Paul?
You are correct.
So I think the only way that's going to happen in Kentucky, maybe if you go down, I don't know, I mean, you'd have to get them all together for one of their big circus events. So maybe if you go down, get this full arena of people watching this shitty basketball team called the University of Kentucky, which sucks ass, and maybe take those people out the front door and say, hey, look what's going on over here. Look what's going on over here, folks. I'm sorry, I'm just telling the truth. I know it hurts. And maybe take them out the front door and say, hey, guys, look what your government's doing over here. Maybe if you had, like, a tunnel that went straight from Rafe Arena into the legislature, maybe then it would get people down that tunnel and they could do that.
Well, making them feel comfortable, uncomfortable on a personal level is the – if that's what you've got to find a way to get the masses to do. The masses have got to take it to these individuals on a personal level. They've got to get in their faces, just like the people down in Nashville did to the Tennessee legislature. Get in their faces. Make them think that they are in jeopardy of some type. I'm okay with that.
Well, I'm okay with that, too. And it's interesting, too, because you pointed out, you know, getting this mass protest or marches or demonstrations on. You know, I've actually tried that. It's fascinating to me. You would get 500 people that say they want to demonstrate and march. You set a date and a time. They all agree to be there, and three show up. That's a problem. Why do only three show up? Because when you contact everybody else, there's always a ton of excuses. But it ultimately comes down to one thing. When you break down all the excuses and you have the conversation, it all comes down to, well, there were going to be TV news crews there, and I don't want to be seen on TV. Because they're scared to be identified. They're scared to be identified and labeled as being involved in something that stands up.
And that's what and that's for something that is organized. The Tennessee thing was kind of sort of, it was a whole lot more spontaneous.
Yeah.
A radio DJ down there actually got on the airwaves and said it.
Right.
And said, hey, folks, let's do this right now. This is important. And that worked out really, really well. So that DJ got him not only whipped into a frenzy, it got him to move into action because it was a short-term project. It was here, it was now, and people said, I'm brave for this moment. But if you give them a chance to think about it sometimes, if they think they're brave, suddenly they say, well, maybe not. For all the reasons that you just said, Ed, all the reasons, they start thinking about it. They say, do I really want to stick my neck out?
Sure, and that's the problem. Nobody wants to stick their neck out. Okay, we're gonna stay here. We'll just screw the last break. I can do that. I own the show. I want to get into some other things here too, because you know, we're talking about the drug problem, we're talking about the sequester, we're talking about how people don't get involved. And here's another great example of what involvement can do for you right here in Kentucky. Dale's gonna like this one. But last week we had an end run around on the hemp bill. The hemp bill stalled because of Tom McKee. And he would not allow a vote on the hemp bill to get out of committee to go to the floor, to the House floor. He illegally ruled that a motion to vote was out of order. He violated every law that Kentucky has for open meetings laws by adjourning that meeting and then meeting quietly and separately in closed quarters over the hemp bill. And lo and behold, because of all the backlash that we were responsible for helping do, all of a sudden, the Kentucky House, they had to agree to put this out on the floor for a vote. The hemp bill passed the Kentucky House Committee today. Greg Stumbo now is going to have to stand alone and kill the vote. But it actually got out of committee. It passed. So this is what people can get done if they get involved. Because a week ago, they had no way they were going to get it up to even be thought about a vote. They weren't going to leave Greg Stumbo stranded as the House Speaker, standing alone. Now, he's going to have to stand alone. He's going to have to take responsibility because people got involved in the process. And yep. That's what I'm trying. That's what I try to do. We used this show last week as a catalyst, had a call to action for people to call their people, to call in, get on the representatives. But, you know, we pointed out every illegal thing here. We had Clint Hardy from Kentucky Grassroots Radio come on air to describe what he had witnessed this last week firsthand. And it made the difference. They got so much backlash. That's the only reason that this came out of committee during the session. Okay, so we know that we can make a difference if we can get enough people to stand together. We know this. Do we have to go through every single issue one by one? Because hemp is important to 100 people, so those 100 people will get involved. But they don't care about the heroin, so they're not going to talk about heroin. They don't want to get involved for any other thing. You know, it has to be a specific issue. Are people that narrow-minded now?
Well, the hemp issue brought together a couple of perspectives that it's the closest thing you can come to what happened in Nashville, and that is everybody got involved, and if they didn't go down to the Capitol, a lot of them did go to the Capitol. They had a filled room for the hearings. They had people basically cornering and surrounding that one chairman of the committee who didn't want to let it go forward out of the House committee, and they jammed the phone line. So that's about as close as we've come in a long time in Kentucky to doing what they did in Tennessee, but they just gotta keep doing it. I mean, the hemp issue, I don't think you really truly mean it, Ed, when you say it only affects 100 people, because hemp could be a big business.
No, I just threw a number out. No, I know it affects more than 100 people, Dale. I just threw a number out there.
I understand.
And let's say it only affects 100 people. You know, just try to use an example. Of course, I know it affects thousands.
But unfortunately, I think the answer is yeah. It's going to be having to be done one silver bullet at a time, metaphorically speaking, for the New World people listening in. So because you're not going to get everybody to agree on every issue, that's what our group down at Take Back Kentucky is all about. You get a lot of groups together who agree on some issues, and then you can work and lobby and go to the legislature as citizen lobbyists, not people who are making the big money like our retired state party chairman like Ellen Williams and John McCarthy, not those kind of lobbyists, but the ones who don't get any money for it. And if you get enough people doing it on individual issues, it's going to probably have to be a bullet-by-bullet attack, metaphorically.
Well, see, and that to me is the biggest problem, because here's the deal for me. If hemp is an issue, you're worried about government overreaching and everything else, and they're refusing to do their job. You get enough people excited about that they're able to force these guys to take it out of committee and get done what we just had done. Now we're going to take this to the floor, but Stumbo says he's not going to let it on the House floor because he's trying to make excuses now, saying it's a revenue measure, and all revenue measures have to start in the House. However, this bill does not include any fees. It just says the Ag Department would include a fee. It's up to the House to determine that. And he keeps coming up with these different excuses. So my point is this, okay? We've got this example. We've got drones in airspace. We've got government doing all these different things and getting involved in everything, all the way from a local to a state to a federal level. The one thing that most all groups can agree on is that the government is overreaching, okay? But unless they're overreaching to the extent of industrial hemp, this particular group will only get involved in industrial hemp. The larger picture is that the government is overreaching what they are empowered to do. And all groups have that similarity. What is it going to take? What is it going to take to get these guys to go after the bigger picture? This smaller stuff, these little silver bullets, if you will take care of themselves in time if we can get a responsive government. But we're not getting that responsive government because we're wasting time on a silver bullet. We're busy worrying about shooting at one enemy instead of taking out the entire army. You see what I'm saying? And that's the problem for me. That's the problem for me. And that's what I'm having a real hard time reconciling, how to get people to stand together against the number one threat in the United States today, and that is an overreaching government that has become a dictatorship, if you will. We are no longer a free republic. Those rights get eroded every day. When you deal with industrial hemp, these guys think it's not a free republic because we don't have industrial hemp. When you deal with retirement and pensions and everything else, the labor unions say that you know, we've got a problem because we're not funding the pensions, but they still want it all. Everybody has their individual issue, but nobody's standing together saying, hey, you know what? We've got a more serious problem than my single issue. We have a problem with the American way of life. We have a problem with the American Constitution. We have a problem realizing that in a free society, we don't operate without a representative government. And that's the thing. I mean, that's what really drives me completely nuts. That's what really drives me completely nuts. We're getting close to out of time, man. Paul, thank you so much for the call. Dale, wrap, baby. Final thoughts.
Well, the bottom line is, if you give up your rights now, don't expect to get them back. And that's why I think that people are coming around. I just had our good friend Mr. Martin tell me over on social networks that some of these people are finally coming around, and he said they had to live and learn, Dale. And that's true. A lot of people are going to learn the hard way. Some of us kind of knew we were kind of hipsters to this libertarian thing a long time ago when they thought we were all crazy. And now I guess I just got to dig harder for subject topic on Thursday nights because, heck, people are starting to come around to everything that my show's about. You can watch 8 hours of filibustering today where my U.S. Senator Rand Paul is sounding like he's the best of the Dale the Truth show, because this is stuff that's finally getting out there. And we just we welcome everybody onto the bandwagon called the Constitution. But the problem is the damn vehicle is already so broken down, you might have to do some of the heavy lifting so we can drive this car out there and say death to the New World Order.
Well put. I tell you, you know, for years now, I began this little project called MVM a long time ago. MVM stands for My View Matters. This started out for me as a personal empowerment tool. I got tired of being the voiceless and decided I needed a voice. So I had to convince myself, if you will. At one time, I was one of the sheep. I went through my daily life. Politics was for somebody else. But I had to overcome that mindset. I had to convince myself that my view matters. And that's what I challenge everybody that listens to us, anybody that follows us at LouisvillePolitics.com or at Springsteen.com or any of our other media ventures. You know, you have to get involved. At some point in your life, you're going to have to say that your opinion counts or your view matters. Because without that discussion, without hearing all sides of the point of view, we can't get to solutions. We all agree, each separate group agrees, that the central problem is overreaching of the government. We have laws that are so asinine in this country. I was reminded of one today that drive me completely bananas. We talk about abuse, animal abuse, child abuse, you know, rapist, whatever the abuse is. We had a story out that came out yesterday about a guy in his 20s. He had two female pit bulls tied up in his backyard. They starved to death and died of hypothermia. That's abuse, folks. That's a mindset. This guy was charged with a Class A misdemeanor. That Class A misdemeanor means that he can be fined up to $500 or spend up to 12 months in jail. I was arrested on July of 26th of last year. That case is still ongoing. I've got a trial coming up in 2 weeks. I said to an officer, "Sir, can I please have your name?" And I was arrested and charged with a Class A misdemeanor. $500 fine, 12 months in jail. Is there a contrast here? Now, people don't take animals serious, and that may not be a good thing, but killing two animals versus asking a simple question is the same crime in America, or at least the same crime here in Louisville, Kentucky. That we've got more serious problems than worrying about our individual events. We have got to stand together and realize that this government is only interested in one thing, their own power and stuffing their pockets. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. 50% of this country is on some government assistance in one form or another. That is alarming. Yet our government continues trying to come up with asinine ideas to put people out of work, to spy on people so we're all treated like criminals, and to keep us subservient. So I tell my audience, get up off your ass. Look in that mirror. My view matters. Get involved. Because until we as a people are willing to get involved at the lowest level to hold those at the highest level accountable, we will never move forward, and we will continue going down the erosion of this little thing called the United States of America and eroding the Constitution that we have a great list to live by. Get involved. Pay attention. Dale, anything special tomorrow night, my friend?
Well, you kind of set me up perfectly because I guess reluctantly or having to do this, we're going to have to talk more about the police state tomorrow night. We got stories in separate states where there was a 6-year-old child that was arrested and handcuffed by police for walking down the street unsupervised.
Jesus.
And we get, I know, protect and serve, right? And we got other stories where there are kids in school throwing temper tantrums, so they were arrested for a few hours. So it sure makes me feel safe.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. You know, that's not counting others like this kid that had Down syndrome that got arrested and died in custody. I don't know what's going on here. The police state has gotten crazy. Now, as we know from Chicago and Detroit, they're calling for National Guards. Now they want the military to take over our streets. The last time I saw that stuff, I believe, was at a place called Tiananmen Square. You know what I mean, Dale? That's the thing. So I'm glad you're going down that road because that's something we really need to start pressuring and pursuing and outing. So I appreciate that. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Dale, the truth right here. You guys tune in for that show, same time, same channel. And Sunday night at 7 o'clock, our good friend Ken Moman with the Liberty Unbridled show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Until then, check all the latest. You can check us out on Stitcher.com or LouisvillePolitics.com. We will have the stories up in the next day or so. Have a great night, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Take care.